I'm a student of a personality typing tool called the Enneagram, and you'll hear shades of this sometimes as I talk. And it's somewhat like the Myers-Briggs. It's a bit more simple, and it has a lot of spiritual formation, both kind of genesis and work. And it's been a big part of helping me learn to notice my own behavior, to notice myself, and to work with God on my edges. And it's given me a fair amount of understanding of others, and it's been a really, really useful tool for me. Sometime this fall, I'll offer a study series based on this tool, and I hope you might consider joining me. But all that is a bit of a preface to this, and I was doing some reading about this Enneagram lately. I encountered a new idea. There are 9 types, and they tend to be grouped in 3s in some different ways. And one of those groupings is that people tend to be oriented in time. We're oriented in space. Where are you? But we tend to be oriented in time, either in the past or in the present or in the future. And this is kind of a new idea to me and a fascinating way to look at human nature. And I'm a very present-oriented person. Where am I? What am I doing? Maybe a little bit of what's next. But I want to be in the moment. I want to be fully present. Chad is a really future-oriented guy, as we were talking about this concept. He's usually 5 miles down the road in his head, thinking about what's next. And I certainly have people in my life who are all of those orientations. And it explains a bit why I've often been driven around Battle Creek by my husband, Mark, seeing sights and hearing tales of his history. I believe Mark is really past oriented. And Mark is thinking, I'm going to share this fascinating piece of my past with my wife. And I'm thinking both, again? True story, Mark. And how is this getting us where we're going right now? Because I'm oriented in the present, and this car trip is about moving along. People sure are a mystery. This I know to be true. That was the closing of a poem I wrote along the way this summer. But we're going to take some time this morning and consider things a bit from all those differing orientations we've gone through this summer in our individual ways, in many different ways, and that is one of them. And it's been a busy half a year, people of God, and a dizzying time both leading up to and since July 1st, and I really want to put a We Are Here sticker on the timeline for all of us this morning. This is, by my count, our 10th Sunday together. If you are new this morning or new to our community, you're worshiping at a new Chapel Hill United Methodist Church. This church is the worship, ministry, and administrative center of a merger of Birchwood, Chapel Hill, and Trinity United Methodist Churches. We came together on July 1st after a fairly fast 18-week engagement party that involved a lot of meetings. But July 1st was the first day of that merger, and we spent it in celebration and worship and praise, a day of new beginnings. There was a You Are Here sticker on that day for us too. And so over the summer, we've begun to live out this merger, to gather around tables for ice cream and dulcimer music, to share coffee and goodies before or after service, to continue to sort things out of the Birchwood Church, and begin to sort out the interconnections of our new community. It's a beautiful thing. We've had our first round of committee meetings in August, and a town hall last Sunday where Chad and I listened as you talked about what has gone well and what could have gone better and what you might hope to see in the future. We've worshiped with children in worship over the summer, which has been a blessing to have them in church with us. And in that time, we've had these 2 series, Shipwrecked Jesus Rescues, based on our summer vacation Bible school theme and scriptures, And in that, we looked at the ways that Jesus rescues, heals, redeems, and saves those who love him. Your foundation may crumble, and someone may invite you to come and share with them. For the last month, Pastor Chad and I have been exploring a few of the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew: prayer and fasting, asking, seeking, and knocking, judgment and criticism, lives that produce fruit. Look at all that history that we have together. So for those of you who are past-oriented, there is where we've been as a community of faith, even in our short life together. And we come to today, so we are here, on the edge of a new school year. Partly summer, partly fall, partly spring with monsoons and thunderstorms. Cool nights that are reminding us that fall is coming. Fall is not yet here, by the way, for 20 more days. So all you, amen. So all you leaf peepers and pumpkin spice latte lovers, just slow down a minute. It'll come. Don't wish us there quite yet. I look around and I am so grateful for all of you and for the summer that we've had together. I'm grateful for the presence of children in worship over the summer, and bless them as they head off to Kids Church next week. And for all of the gifts in worship, prayer, liturgy, song, hospitality, and service that have been given and shared by members of this new community. So let's take a moment and take a deep breath. And I invite you just to look around for a few seconds. Look around this room. See who's here. See how different this community looks. And together we just say, thank you, God. Thank you for all that we've been given. So there's the sticker. There's the "we are here" on the timeline of life. But then we begin to look forward to next week, the coming together of dormant Bible study groups, the launch of Kids Church for elementary kids, beginning of middle and high school youth groups, and a new series. It's a new year of programs and people coming together in new and different ways. In this life together, we continue in our life, our year of firsts. We'll have our first Halloween and experience what we've called Halloween on the Hill, where the community seems to come to 157 Chapel Hill Drive to trick-or-treat, and we just meet them with hospitality. We'll have our first Christmas and our first Easter together. In September's Ad Council meeting, the vision team will be reporting for the first time with recommendations for mission and vision statements and narrowed down ideas, not final ideas, for developing what we've called the Big Mission Project, that is the outflow of this merger and the long-term use of the Trinity Building. Because even though we've paused for a moment with the engine idling and kind of this integration part of the Merger Express is ready to change track into the Mission Explorer. We're starting to feel ready to go into the next thing that God has for this community. And so it's here where we rejoin the children's lesson and our scripture and take a closer look at what it means to build on sand and rock. And so I'm going to take a minute and read that scripture. This is from Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and floods come and winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So we were just missing our crash this morning. And this building metaphor is easy to understand, isn't it? How many of us have not built a sandcastle only to watch it wash away in an hour when the waves go a little higher? Or have seen videos of hurricanes in Florida and elsewhere in the world, flash floods in dry riverbeds, houses built on sandy dune cliffs falling into the water? So we can see this in real life, and Jesus was a tradesman who would have just very much connected with this metaphor. People of his time would have connected, and we can connect. And I've thought about this passage over the years in lots of ways. One of the questions I usually ask myself is, what is my sand? What am I building on? I've spent a lot of time in my life building metaphorical structures that I thought were fortresses. Family, a business, financial security, community, health. And some of them are still sound and standing, and some of them crumpled, and some of them changed in ways I never anticipated. And I've come to understand that none of that, no matter how valued, no matter how much I pour resources into them, no matter how secure they might seem, are rock, they're not. Kids move, marriages end, people graduate to heaven, this pastor thing came, and it's here, but who knows? God knows. I just do the next thing, God asks, and the next thing. In a world full of constant change, what is my rock? So let's listen again to part of that passage. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. So there's the core. There's the core of that passage. We've heard that again and again as we've taught those. Jesus is very consistent in his teaching, and he wants us to listen, to hear his teaching, to follow, and to obey. In the Message paraphrase of these passages, it says this: the words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life. And over the series, we've heard again and reflected on several of Jesus' teachings. There are another, maybe 20 or so, in these short chapters. The Gospels are full of enigmatic parables, of healing, of miracles, of actions that are both illuminary and confusing by Jesus at times. Lots of words and some clear teaching and some not so clear. But some, like those we've encountered this summer, seem pretty direct. Don't criticize and judge. Live in grace. Build a life where the fruit of the Spirit is present. Don't give up asking and seeking what you need and want from God. All of them seem like the right thing to do, but very few of them are easy. Right, people? Elsewhere, when asked the most important commandment, Jesus says this: love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. Again, very clear, but not easy. And in a message along the way, Chad referred to the narrow gate, and this is another of Jesus' teaching that is in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will ever find it. I kind of hemmed a bit in the first service and just kind of leaning into that passage. And in the way ministry works now, Chad kind of edited it in communion, expanded. Now I've taken it back. But if we think, you know, we kind of think as heaven and hell as destinations, and really their union with God and separation to God, from God. And so the road to separation from God is indeed wide. We're not on the narrow road as a culture and as a society. Our world is full of increasing choices for almost everything. Just in what we view, there are hundreds of channels on our television and thousands of things we can stream from every place on the planet. We can choose any kind of food, and every day we spend making choices on what we say and do, how we spend our money, who we are in the world. Jesus' way is a narrow gate. The definition of spiritual formation is becoming like Jesus, being conformed to the image of Christ for the sake of others. And I use this definition in the apprentices' journey for women, and we struggle every year with this conformed to the image of Christ, because we are not a people who like to conform to much of anything. That phrase, just that word, has a lot of connotations. But if there's something we're going to be conformed to in life, is there's an image that we want to follow and seek and become in life, it is the image of Christ. So the invitation in this message today is to continue to read the Gospels, particularly Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and find the words of Christ there, and just keep immersing yourself in the words of Christ and the teachings and the example and the healing and the miracles to find that image that you follow. I'm going to quote a passage by James. This is James 1, 22 through 25. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. You forget what that image that you find in the word of God is. But if you look carefully into the word that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. The narrow gate that leads to freedom, one step at a time. And I'm going to issue the challenge in the way of benediction this morning. So the invitation to keep reading the Gospels. And the challenge, may we, all of us brothers and sisters in Christ, keep walking together on the path that leads to the narrow gate. May we hold each other's hands when the wild, wide world beckons, and all the temptations and false gods who live there call us. May we reach down a hand to claim a brother or sister who has wandered off. May we keep turning to the words of our Lord and to your story of love and the covenant that spans centuries and listen to your commands. May we do the best that we can to live them out and know that we are surrounded by your love and your grace no matter what. May we keep turning our attention and our feet to the roads that lead to those who need what this community will be able to offer in the city of Battle Creek. May you, our Lord, our Savior, our Shepherd, lead us in every step. And may we know God's presence when we step off the path for a moment, for a season, and a choice, as we struggle to be humans who follow Jesus and try to become like him, and who are met with love and grace and forgiveness each time we reach our hands and our hearts to Jesus and return to his care and leading. Amen. And amen.